You're listening to the HWP Report, bringing you news and information about issues pertaining to health, wellness, and performance, with your host, Dr. Faiz Kirsten.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. And today I have a very, very special guest, and she is none other than the amazing Dr. Anna Mihaicha. And I think I got her last name right there. I've been watching quite a few videos and interviews, and I think that sounds right. So welcome, Dr. Anna, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us today. And thank you so much, you know, for giving us some of your time, your very valuable time, to come and talk to us about a subject which, you know, in my view, I think it's the most important subject everyone should be focusing on today. And it actually is the subject of transhumanism. So thank you, you know, for your time and for sharing, coming to share your knowledge and expertise with us today. Very much appreciated. I'm just going to give you guys a bit of a background about Dr. Anna, and then we move on into the meat of the subject. So Dr. Anna is a MD, a PhD, a board-certified internal medicine physician, and she's actually the president of the AM Medical LLC, an integrative health clinic with a focus on anti-aging and reversal of all diseases. She is the award-winning author of the book Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. And she's also the founder of True Blue Medical, a wellness company using blue light therapy wraps. She's also an advocate for medical freedom. I will post the links to a book and a Substack newsletter and to a company's website, you know, in the show notes. So that's, you guys don't have to worry about that. So Dr. Anna, thank you once again. We really appreciate your presence here today. You can go ahead and tell us a bit more about yourself, if you like, before I start, you know, going to the meat of the discussion. I'll start with the history of transhumanism, but please go ahead and tell us a bit more about the work that you're doing and a bit more about yourself. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, so in regards to the background of why I got into this, because this is kind of out of the range of what doctors normally are looking into. So, you know, I was treating people with COVID and then became involved in several groups and met some physicians who were part of an international team of scientists who actually looked at the vial contents. And I worked closely with Shimon Yanovitz, the engineer from Israel, and then Dr. David Nixon, and found nanotechnology, actually, and then really became very familiar and started collaborating with Clifford Carnicum, who looked into synthetic biology of what he called cross-domain bacteria or Morgellons disease for over 30 years. So this is a little bit more about, you know, my journey. And I then started doing live blood analysis and finding very abnormal structures that shouldn't be there in people's blood. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Anna. I'm going to just dive into the history of transhumanism very briefly, and then you know, we can continue with Dr. Anna giving us more information. So the father of technocracy, in fact, both technocracy and transhumanism, was a philosopher, French philosopher. His name was Henri Saint-Simon. I think I got that right. And he was born, I think, in 1761, died a few decades later in 1825. He was actually an adherent of the religion of Scientism. I'm sure you know about Scientism, Dr. Anna, which is different to science, okay? That's a very interesting subject, Scientism. And I think the adherents of the religion of Scientism are actually running the show today, actually. Fauci, Klaus Schwab, and all those guys. they're not real scientists. They're basically pseudoscientists, but practitioners of Scientism. Anyway, Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species, actually gave rise to the idea that evolution can be manipulated or directed and internal life is possible. So these people thought they could overcome death because they realized what evolution is all about, or they thought they knew, and that people can become gods. And then this Darwin's theory of evolution spawned the eugenics movement in the early 1900s, I think it was, based on the belief that, you know, genetic quality of the human race can be improved by the use of selective breeding, you know. So some people can make their genes make themselves superior, and they can manipulate people's genes to make them inferior and eliminate them. And that's what we're dealing with today. Depopulation comes from eugenics agenda, basically. And then later on, a few decades later, in fact, now one point I wanted to mention was Julian Huxley. He changed the word eugenics to transhumanism. He was the founder of UNESCO. He was a eugenicist. Because eugenics fell out of favor with the Nazis during World War II and so forth. And then later on, Max Moore came and defined modern transhumanism. So I thought I'll just give a bit of a background there. And of the history of transhumanism, because I think that's very important. And then you know, people can understand that what we're dealing with here today. So Dr. Anna, please go ahead and tell us a bit more about what you're doing today. It's such crucial work that you are doing. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for this historical background. Yes, well, people need to understand that there's a long history of this. This has been planned for a long time. It has been going on for a long time. And what I really found out in my research was that it hasn't started with these C19 shots, but that through geoengineering, which is spraying particles and synthetic biology into our atmosphere to basically modify all life on this planet. You know, the transhumanist agenda is to modify every cell, every microbe, to digitize it, to fuse it in its natural state with synthetic biology. And what I want to explain is what synthetic biology is means that there's a part of it is biology and a part of it is synthetic. And for example, the synthetic aspect can be things like this compound called hydrogel that I speak of a lot. So hydrogel is a form of programmable matter. There are two kinds of it. One is inorganic, which is sort of like a polymer plastic or a microplastic. And there's also organic hydrogels. You can make hydrogel out of DNA sequences, RNA sequences. And so what this hydrogel does, it can be programmed to actually mimic cells within the body. So in the project of endeavoring to create an artificial brain, they use hydrogel together with carbon nanotubes and certain metals to mimic certain brain cells, and they were able to produce a matter that is, number one, self-learning and self-assembling, meaning it grows with external energy sources like electricity and electromagnetic frequency. And when you combine it with certain metals, like let's say gold or uranium or aluminum, you can modify its electrical properties, and that then can modify what it creates, because it's been shown that hydrogel can create protein microchips, it can create biosensors, it can be combined with quantum dot technology, which we know also has, you know, the identifier luciferase, you know, joining with it. And so this is a type of technology in soft robotics that has been used in many different applications. So it can be used for supposed good application, like in medicine. You know, a lot of your drugs are actually produced on a nanoscale. So anything that is on a nanoscale, you can cover under this word called nanotechnology. The C19 shots are by definition nanotechnology because of their size. They're at a nanoscale, a billionth of a meter. They're encapsulated by this lipid nanoparticle that's made in Pfizer out of pegylated polyethylene glycol, as well as cholesterol. And people say, oh, it's just cholesterol in the vials. No, you don't understand. The cholesterol is a building block of hydrogel that can be used for this technology. Just because it's a natural compound doesn't mean that it can't be weaponized or utilized like this. And so this is sort of a bit of a background. This out of this hydrogel, you can create soft robotics. And in warfare, military warfare, which is a lot what I'm talking about, because remember, in the United States, the C-19 rollout was a military operation completely handled, you know, through the Department of Defense. The shots themselves are classified as prototypes, and they are used for civilian and military use. Military use means they're classified as a weapon. And so this understanding, or looking at this perspective from many different ways, not just from the medical perspective, but looking at it from the warfare perspective. So nanotechnology, in the 1970s already, the plan was made to basically join all biological life with synthetic artificial intelligent life. And then obviously, you know, the biosphere modification of this geoengineering the purpose of creating, of spraying these metals like aluminum and barium and strontium in our atmosphere, it's not just to get people sick, but it's also part of creating an ionosphere where all weather is controlled, all biological life is affected.
So the whole idea then is full spectrum dominance of the planet. Every aspect of the planet, everything on the planet needs to be identified, tagged, and controlled. And that is the agenda, ultimately. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And so the way things fit in for me personally in my research is that we are in the final phases of this agenda. So I started out, you know, working with these engineers and doctors looking at the vials, but then collaborated with people like Clifford Kernicum, who's been working for 30 years evaluating synthetic biology that's been sprayed on people. And then really understanding that all of life has been infected with this stuff, and that the platform of the C19 shots were really something to accelerate what has already been in the human body, as well as in the biosphere, and use it as a tool for definitely identification. You know, we know about the digitization of currency, the vaccine passport. So this is all about, you know, complete control, but then also the depopulation part is this can be weaponized. So the metals in particular, so I'm a certified chelation practitioner. Chelation means pulling metals out of the body that the body has been contaminated with, is that the metals themselves are a unique weapon system that can be a standalone. And Mark Steele, he's a weapons expert, and he really discusses that these metals can be used for example, facial reconnaissance from via satellites. You can use graphene oxide to target someone's nervous system from the other side of the planet via satellite and mind control or robotically control the body. And so then this is it has to be understood that there are many different weapon systems, that this is purposefully a deceptive agenda in the way that you know, the information that's being put out is very confusing, so that we don't really, you know what is real. So there are teams who looked at the vials and found no mRNA. Then now, you know, Kevin Kernicum found a lot of DNA and plasmids. So these vials are changing their ingredients, but there's a lot of undisclosed ingredients like these heavy metals. There's been like cesium and cerium and tungsten and gadolinium found in these vials, which, by the way, are in every single vaccine, no matter what type you use. And that's been identified by Antonetta Gatti, the famous nanopathologist. She looked at over 44 vaccinations of children and found metal contaminations, quote unquote, in everyone. These are weapons. I also have noticed that there is much more use of radioactive isotopes. I used to not find uranium. Now I find uranium in most people. So I think that these things to make humanity sicker, but also to weaponize the environment against us, are all aspects of this war as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I was on the radio quite a few years ago, and I was actually forced off with directed energy weapons. So I had to stop being on the show. And I spoke on many subjects, and on one of the shows I said, you know, my biggest concern is, and that was, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago or so, maybe, two things that really concern me, because I think we're facing an extinction level event here. The two things that will eliminate human beings from the planet, exterminate them, is actually electromagnetic frequencies and vaccines. And I said that quite a few years ago. And it seems to be happening right now, you know, with electromagnetic radiation, which is really the crux of this whole agenda. You know, they're using frequencies coupled with the nanoparticles and all the other mechanisms they're using. to just wipe out, exterminate people. So it's a military operation. And I mean, I watched, what's her name, Aileen Watts the other day. I think her name is Aileen Watts, yeah, talking about the militarization of public health. I said this as a doctor, I said this years ago. I actually left allopathic medicine many years ago when I saw the deception and what is actually going on. I reckon I couldn't be part of this. I'm not going to be part of this. So I set up my own health and wellness institute. So yeah, I saw this coming along many, many, many years ago. And I spoke on transhumanism also quite a few years ago. And in fact, I want to mention a point when they actually announced the pandemic, scamdemic in 2020, I actually stopped what I was doing at the time. That was in March, I think, when they announced it here in South Africa. I stopped writing two new books that I was writing, and I just stopped writing those books. I was still doing, seeing my patients in that. But it took me about 8 weeks, Dr. Anna. And after 8 weeks, I came to the conclusion, and this is a deception. So I actually entitled the presentation of my research findings, The COVID-19 Deception, a Major Strategic Move Towards a Technocratic Transhumanist New World Order, because this was the move towards global transhumanism, this injection. You see this Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution, a deception. Tell everybody there's a virus, get them vaccinated, and boom, you got them. So that is what you say, the deception, the militarization of healthcare. It's all happening right now, basically. Yeah.
Yes, and one of the things that I so agree with you, I believe that we are facing a human extinction level event, that the urgency is so profound. And this is why I try to speak with so many people and share the information is, we are running out of time, because while there is this smoke and mirrors, you know, the political agendas and, you know, the freedom doctors who are still talking about spike protein, this digitization and the transformation into this nanotechnology has been injected now into 2/3 of the known world. It is shedding, it is self-spreading. And so I believe that the nuclear bomb has already dropped, and that what we're about to see is just the fallout. And the weapon, ultimately, you know, if they deploy 5G in something like a 60 gigahertz frequency or anything like that, I mean, you can be killed through your cell phone now through a frequency. And this is why I am so concerned. And I am very happy when I find these rare individuals who are really understanding. It's like, you know, this is not about doing, you know, 3-year research project until you prove that what you're finding is right, which I have a lot of colleagues who want to do that. And, you know, they want to, you know, convince the scientific community. I'm like, to me, the scientific community is lost. They sold completely their soul completely when they forgot their oath for their paycheck, and they, the peer pressure got the best of them. I don't want to convince those people. They have, you know, a judgment coming their way, I believe. And to me, it is, we are speaking to the people who can hear us, to the people who, may be able to detox, may be able to do something about it, the integrative, you know, open-minded people. And we are pushing forward the revelation of this information every day. You know, I'm doing a lot of experiments with Clifford Carnicum on the blood and what it looks like. And I'm happy to show you some of these slides. So just one moment, let me... Sure. Let me pull this up. And are you able to see these slides?
Yep, I can see them, Dr. Anna. Yeah, I can see them quite clearly.
So what I wanted to mention is that, initially in Australia, Dr. David Nixon was doing live blood analysis on vaccinated people, and he saw these structures, and that was the same stuff that we saw in the vials that was developing, that appeared to be optical communication cables between these microchips that we found. And so then I started seeing it in unvaccinated people. In the last few months, it was in everyone. And I was really concerned about this, because you can see how the structure of the blood has changed to this rouleau formation, which means that the zeta potential of the red blood cell is affected, and the ability to give off oxygen like this is impaired, causes a microclotting, which this isn't the microclot. The microclotting starts to begin to develop like this here, and is made out of fibrin. And so what I wanted to show, this is some of the research with Clifford Carnicum. This is an unvaccinated blood sample. And a year ago, he did a test on four unvaccinated individuals and applied a low-level electrical current, and the blood transformed into this filament network. He has Wow. termed this cross-domain bacteria because in his research of what was called Morgellons, this fiber disease, he found that this synthetic organism met criteria of all three domains of life, which is unheard of. That means it is synthetic. So archaea, bacteria, and eukaryotes. And so it and he chemically analyzed it and found a hydrogel called polyvinyl alcohol. That was probably an encapsulation of this filament network, as well as extreme metals like aluminum and barium, which are also sprayed. So this was a repeat of this test, but it was at 1,000 times less electrical current. It was only 10 microamps. And you can see that within 2 hours, the unvaccinated blood was transforming into something unrecognizable. And so the question really is, what is happening to humanity's blood? Because humanity's blood is being changed. This should not be here. And this is not a worm. It's not a parasite. You know, we've clearly shown that this is a polymer. And Mike Adams is the only one in the world who did studies on the deceased vaccinated clots that the embalmers were finding. And he found carbon-based self-assembling polymer with metals in them that was combustible. This is the same stuff that I am now finding in people. And I know in vaccinated people who have the same rubbery clots developing under EMF exposure. I have seen a tremendous amount of blood clots as well. We did infrared spectroscopy and found that people with a history of severe COVID who are unvaccinated have a certain frequency emission peak that is similar to those who are vaccinated. Versus those who had mild to moderate symptoms, which, by the way, COVID is, in my mind, not a virus, but it's what you see behind me. It's a synthetic biology. So this was very interesting finding. So this is vaccinated blood. They all had this very specific aromatic carbon hydrogen bond that was suggestive of hydrogel. And one of the newest findings was that one of our colleagues had contacted me and said, hey, I did Raman spectroscopy on a cadaver blood clot, found a very specific frequency, had a family member who was ill from it, found the frequency in the ill family member, and he then checked a piece of meat that was just consumed by the family member, and the meat had this. So I started finding these structures in meat products as well. And so this is what you see here. This I went to the grocery store, and the same kind of ribbon-like structures that I believe are made from hydrogel, potentially with carbon nanotubes in there. It's been well documented in the literature that, for example, packaging materials as well as any type of preservatives use nanotechnology for years. So it's unclear whether or not this comes from geoengineering. Is it being sprayed on people and the cattle are just inhaling it? Is it already in their vaccines that are of other kind? Doesn't have to be mRNA. We found this stuff in flu vaccines as well. So you can see here, this is you know, more of these fibers, basically.
And these like the Morgellons fibers, is it the same kind of material that it's made from, or is it completely different?
I am concerned that it is the same. So that is what the spectroscopy studies are saying, because that emission peak, 1648, was found in Morgellons victims as well in a documentation of over 25 years that Clifford Carnicum did. This is why he was so interested in this. And so you can see here, this is a live blood analysis. The reason why I know these are not contaminants, you can see white blood cells that have attached themselves to this thing. They're trying to digest it and are unable to. And you can see on the side a similar aspect. This was found in the meat. And so these are other meat samples. This was also replicated by my colleague, Dr. David Nixon, in Australia. And so this is just something that I wanted to show so that people are aware that you know this is happening. This might be in the food supply. We found this stuff in rainwater. So a lot of people are calling it graphene oxide. So I am not denying that graphene oxide is involved in this process. I just think that the biochemistry of these filaments are more complex. From Clifford Carnicum's analysis, there is a shell that's made from hydrogel. There appears to be even artificial blood in there. There can be DNA in there. There's clearly metals in there. So it's multiple different components. And according to the literature, they use carbon nanotubes, which is your graphene oxide, and it changes the electronic abilities of this thing.
Yeah, I saw in the one presentation, I can't remember who it was, I think it could have been yours, where there's artificial red blood cells in these fibers.
Yes.
Which is, that's insane. I mean, you think about it. Look, I have been looking at synthetic biology quite a while back already, but to see it in reality happening now, it's crazy stuff, actually, quite honestly. Coming back to graphene, I see the FDA actually admitted that there is graphene in the vials. They actually admitted in the Pfizer, I think specifically in the Pfizer vials, they admitted that they found graphene in there. And the La Quinta Columna guys, they did a presentation the other day. I had a conference where Ricardo Delgado presented his findings, you know, over the last 2 years or so on the graphenes.
Yes, absolutely. And their work is phenomenal. And I'm absolutely on board with that. I think, though, that the delivery platform of this hydrogel also has to be taken into account just because of how it grows. So I do think that the graphene is really part of how they are electronically manipulating things, because, you know, graphene is a material that can be used as a superconductor. It has quantum capabilities. And so I talk a lot about these research that talks about generating energy fields that are plasmons, and then at lower frequency, they call them demons, actually. And I believe this transhumanist agenda, I call it satanic. I call it evil. You know,
definitely, without a doubt, absolutely.
And I think that it hijacks the brain. I think that part of how it modifies is the graphene oxide, and the carbon nanotubes are a key ingredient of that. So I've studied a lot about their work, because they've decoded in the Brain Project over the last 50 years all the resonant frequencies in all areas of the brain, and their work was to create an artificial brain so that they can create humanoid robots. And it turns out that one of the ways that they are creating this artificial brain is with this hydrogel and the carbon nanotubes, because the carbon nanotubes have the exact same diameter as the microtubules in the brain, which is the place where we process consciousness. And so what this technology can do is that the hydrogel replaces the neuronal structures in the brain, the carbon nanotube replaces the microtubules, and you're literally having a parallel computing system that is hijacking people's consciousness. So now you're in the realm of cyborgs. People call them zombies. You have these personality changes that may or may not be related to cutting the VMAT gene. It can be also electrical, because we are biophotonic light beings. We process information via electrons, and our brain acts like a quantum computer. So I think that the technology mimics our natural biology, which is magnetobiology, optogenetics, all of these types of scientific processes.
Yeah, I see they were talking about building a third layer above the cortex. And so Elon Musk talks about neural lace, and I think it's all, that's why it's in this, these filaments, I think, are part of that network that they're forming in the brain, basically, the second brain, to control people with frequencies, basically. I, in fact, spoke on electromagnetic mind control on the radio quite a few years ago, actually, and this is a technology that they've been developing over the years, and it's come to a head now with this massive development, you know, in the ability to control people's minds, because that's really what they want to do ultimately, besides killing people, is control their minds. So once you take over control of the mind, you've got control of the person, you know, and then you can do whatever you want to with them. And that's basically what they've been doing. If you look at people's behavior these days, I mean, I think, you know, it's a bit scary to see how people are behaving. I definitely notice a change in people's behavior. I don't know if you've noticed it on that side of the world, but it's definitely what I've noticed. Yeah. So
I think a lot of people are speaking about that. And I think that that's a very, very concerning thing because, you know, if you think about that, that this war is really also on the level of the mind, you know, if you are even from the perspective of chronic fatigue or long COVID symptoms, which millions and millions of people are having who are even unvaccinated, if you're chronically tired and you can't think straight, you cannot fight, you cannot comprehend Absolutely. This massive information. Every day there's so much information coming out. You have to keep up, you have to study to be able to be on the cutting edge of understanding this, because this technology is so far advanced of what our understanding is as, you know, regular medical doctors. This is why, you know, I always say, it's like, look, I'm studying, you know, quantum mechanics, I'm studying nanorobotics, you know, looking at artificial intelligence. If you just read the British Medical Journal or the fake Lancet, you don't know anything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's there's a lot of deception out there. In fact, we did a webinar, a live stream the other day on the deception, the deceptive world in which we are living, a world of deception. Literally, I mean, we're living in two worlds, Dr. Anna. We're living in an artificial world, and this is part of the synthetic agenda to make everything artificial. But then we have the natural world, the natural order of things that comes from the Almighty, you know, the natural world that we live in. So there's two worlds, and these Satanists are basically now trying to move everything into the artificial realm. So they literally want to make everything artificial. And basically, they try to render God, I think, the Almighty, irrelevant or redundant. They're quite pathetic, actually, if you think about it. Because if you think about what they're doing, you know, they seem to want to create the impression that they're all powerful, these Satanists. But what they're literally doing, they're taking nothing that they use is actually original. Nothing that they use, whether it's those fibers or whatever, those artificial red blood cells, every single one of those components has been created by the Almighty, right? And now they're just using that and they're manipulating it and changing it and then saying that, you know, look, we're changing everything, you know, we're all powerful. But that's a deception because it's not really what they're doing. They're just using God's creation to manipulate it and then create the impression that they were powerful and creating something new. So, you know, you've got to look beyond what seems obvious, because it may seem obvious to people that these guys are all powerful. They're changing the world. They're patenting you, and now they own you, you know. But it's all deception. If you really think about it, you look beyond what seems obvious, you will see that these guys are basically just pathetic. Literally, they're pathetic. And I don't think, you know, my view is, and I agree with Celeste Solomon, who she says she doesn't think they'll wipe out everybody. I also agree with her. I don't think they'll wipe out everybody. I don't think they'll make everyone extinct. I think they'll kill a lot of people. They already have. They have killed a lot of people. And I think they're going to kill quite a bit more also, but I don't think they'll wipe everybody out. I think at the end of the day, they're going to lose. Evil always loses out. Anyway, I thought I'll just mention that. I wanted to ask you about PEG, polyethylene glycol. I mean, that's something, you know, I called for the stop to the rollout of these vaccines here in South Africa in January 2021. I wrote a public letter calling for the stop to the rollout, and I outlined all the reasons why it should be stopped, shouldn't be rolled out. And then in August 2021, the same year, I updated that letter. Didn't get much attention from the government or doctors. I mean, doctors, like you spoke about scientists, I think doctors are in the same boat, quite honestly. And I also spoke about polyethylene glycol, you know, because that's the thought, how can they put this in a vaccine? This is insane. So if you can tell us a little bit more about it, is it a major component of the hydrogel, PEG, polyethylene glycol?
It can be for certain. And so it can be one of the components that can be polyvinyl alcohol, that can be, you know, there are different compounds. Hydrogel self-assembly can be created via many different ways. But yes, it is. And I am very clearly seeing that it has a correlation with what we're seeing in terms of this nanotechnology, because the nanotechnology grows out of the polyethylene glycol.
Okay, thanks for that, Dr. Anna. So you can go ahead with the presentation. I think you're going to talk about chelation, EDTA chelation. So please go ahead. I just want to make sure I give you all participants. There we go. Okay, you can go ahead. You can share your slides.
So what I wanted to share was that I have in my clinic, you know, started to observe that EDTA chelation, which pulls out the metals out of the body, also helps with this hydrogel structure. And I was first sort of alerted to this by Karen Kingston, because she talked about that in the patents, EDTA was one of the mentioned antidotes for hydrogel, and that it can help dissolve the bonds of the hydrogel. EDTA also is able to pull out graphene. By basically taking out all of the structures of these fibers that you see, that is something that has been very useful in my practice. And what I want to show here, so I have people flying in all over the, from all over the place to my clinic. And so they come for a very brief period of time. And so we need to achieve a lot in terms of treatment. So sometimes we give daily intravenous infusions. And so on the first day, we usually do a live blood analysis. And you can see these structures and you can see the quality of the blood. I mean, it's hardly recognizable. It's like this mush, you know, with complete rillo formation and these long, long fibers, which are thousands of times larger sometimes than a red blood cell. Again, this is not a parasite. And by the way, I've also found red and blue fibers, which are classic for quantum dot technology that was placed in the Morgellons or cross-domain bacteria fibers. So I've developed this protocol to use two EDTA chelations. Sometimes I use vitamin C with a peptide that it's called epithalon, and it age reverses people by lengthening telomeres. It repairs DNA. It breaks what's called the Hayflick limit. All cells have a limit to how many times they can divide, and then they actually die. They have a programmed cell death. Epithalon breaks that. It's a synthetic form of a pineal gland peptide, epithalamine, that was found 30 years ago by a Russian professor, Kavinson. So this is sort of what happens, you know, after 3 days. And the only reason why the background is like this is the person had just eaten something, but the structures are gone, and the blood cells look much improved. This is another case. You can see these classic ribbons, you know, the blood changes here. And this is after two EDTA chelation IVs. And I also do vitamin C with 20,000 milligrams, and then I give epithalon. So again, this is 3 days later after the first initial thing. You can see these structures. They're all over the place. And then again, same regimen, 3 to 4 days later. And you can see this is normal blood. So these little dots, they're just chylomicrons. These are fatty acids. But you can see that the cells are separated. There's no rillo formation and no structures seen. And here's another case similar like this. And this can be quite severe. So these are people who have long COVID symptoms, who are very fatigued because their red blood cells aren't really transporting oxygen to the, or delivering it to the tissues very well. And then again, you can see here after the EDTA chelation, how the blood is basically normal, the background looks clear, and the blood flow is restored. So I wanted to let people know that there is hope, even from the most severe cases. I mean, sometimes I look at this blood and I'm like, this isn't even recognizable to me anymore as blood. I mean, this shouldn't look like this, okay? And this is just a 10 times magnification. You can see that everywhere is rollo. It's just like these worm-like structures. And then here's a couple IVs, and it's back to normal, and the structures are gone. So EDTA chelation has been demonized, particularly in the United States. It's been around for a long time. That molecule has been shown to reverse arteriosclerosis by pulling out these heavy metals. During the chelation, I pull a tremendous amount of metals out. For example, the excretion of lead is increased by a factor of 4,000. 280%, the excretion of cadmium by 800%. So, you know, you can reverse diseases of chronic aging that are induced by these metals very rapidly. Like renal function improves in like five IVs. You know, I've been able to reverse people's stroke symptoms and vascular problems, etc. So I just want to alert people that this molecule exists, and because it undermines the structural platform of this technology, this is why it is so hopeful. A lot of people are advocating for it orally or rectally. I don't recommend it because it also binds to natural minerals like your zinc and molybdenium, selenium, and it depletes your microbiome from them. So I only use it transdermally with an EDTA cream, and then IV when we have to really clean it up. Also, it's dose dependent. When you have these ginormous ribbons, you need a higher dose to be able actually to dissolve that. So this is in conjunction with things like plasminex, nettokinase, that's a sister to plasminex, things like high dose vitamin C, nutritional supplementation. I use a lot of molecules that are electron donors, because what I've shown in my clinical practice, in my testing with brain EEG and autonomic nervous system function tests, that the voltage in the cells is substantially reduced, and there's clearly mitochondrial dysfunction. So by giving molecules that give electricity, you can actually restore that and help people. And I've been able to age reverse, for example, functional brain age by about 30 years in a few months with this approach. So I think that, you know, there's definitely hope, but there isn't, you have to get out of the regular box of what a lot of the providers are saying, because if you only think that there's a spike protein, you know, there may or may not be. And I always cite Francis Collins from the 2020 NIH paper, who said that they were able to create a quantum dot technology and a nanocrystal that mimics a coronavirus and creates an antibody response as if you had the virus, but it's an artificial intelligence technology that's creating it. And so that needs to be addressed in a different way. So I just wanted to let people know that there is hope, and that we need to continue to research this with those people who are open-minded. Again, I just tend to ignore people like, you know, we've in the United States, we have Ryan Cole, you know, who looked under the microscope at a vial, you know, there's all kinds of stuff floating around and says, oh, no, that's nothing. And there is no graphene and it's all cholesterol and sugar. And I'm just like, no, it's not. This is disinformation. And people really need to be aware of this so that they can detoxify it. Yeah. We need to rid people of this synthetic artificial intelligence biology.
Absolutely. I must say, though, that improvement is dramatic. I mean, after the EDTA chelation, I mean, after two doses, you say, just two doses?
Yes, two IVs, 1,500 milligrams each. And it's consistent. I've done it over and over and over again. And people are, you know, please replicate my findings, you know, prove me wrong if you want to, but this has been a miraculous thing, you know, just in terms of the objective findings, because at least by reversing this, that people can start to heal. It doesn't mean that, you know, that some of the people who have been so hard affected are healed in 5 minutes, because a lot of times if they get around a vaccinated person, or they can get recontaminated, and I think that there's a lot to repair, but I have definitely, you know, regenerated people, including myself, who was targeted and almost died of this stuff. You know, I use my own treatment, and as you can tell, I am highly functional, from losing my life twice almost last year. So I think that, you know, I also talk from personal experience that this has been really a lifesaver for me.
Yeah, I must say my health deteriorated dramatically. I was optimally healthy for years. You know, I left allopathic medicine. I studied health and wellness. I set up an institute. I lived my life according to what I studied and all the case studies, and applied it to my own life. And for years, I was just healthy. I never got sick, no flu, nothing, until I got hit with these energy weapons. And then I really got sick. I got really sick. And then I had to develop a protocol to reverse it. I thought I was going to die, quite honestly. So But I must say that results you get with the EDTA, that's dramatic. Now, I wanted to ask you, people who can't afford IV infusion or don't have access to it, and you say you don't recommend oral EDTA, so would the cream then be better if they don't have access to IV? That would be the next best, would be the cream.
So I would do the cream, or if you get liposomal EDTA, because you have to get the EDTA through the gut membrane. So I know people who take the EDTA pills. I would never do that. You have to have an encapsulation, because the EDTA immediately starts to work in the gut and then binds to all the minerals in your microbiome. And you need your microbiome to be functional to be able to detox things. So what are other chelators? So chelators means binding to metals. You know, there's, for example, humic and fulvic acid that anybody can get. There are things like you need nitric oxide to help your microbiome detox graphene. Other things, for example, are just ascorbic acid, vitamin C. Vitamin C is a chelator and it's an electron donor. And most people do not take enough. If you think about how much we're assaulted by all of these metals from spraying, it is phenomenal. And so I think that I like Linus Pauling's protocol. He recommended an average of 10,000 milligrams. If your gut can tolerate it, you want to very gradually increase that. But he reversed all kinds of chronic diseases with it. And I think that that makes a lot of sense to really dose vitamins. I check people's urine for vitamin C deficiency, and about 80% of people who walk off the street have scurvy. And so we know that that causes accelerated arteriosclerosis. And then, you know, people have done studies, for example, on hormonal regeneration, and have found that ascorbic acid creates an electrical current in a watery solution. It can regenerate your hormones from an 80-year-old functioning to a 20-year-old functioning. Those studies have been done in Vienna. So I think that there are some very simple vitamin or electron donors, which is the same word as an antioxidant, that are very, very useful to at least boost the immune system and the electrical ability in the body. When we did electrical conductivity studies on vaccinated and unvaccinated blood, we found that it's up to 50% reduced compared to normal pre-C19 shot era. So there's something hijacking the electricity, which I believe is the life force of the body, you know, and we need to have an antidote for this. And these kinds of supplements can definitely help with that.
Thanks for that, Dr. Anna. Now, I want to ask you, so you use either EDTA or fulvic acid. I mean, have you compared?
No, what I do is I do the IV protocols. Mm-hmm. And then I, at the same time, start a full nutritional supplement program, and then all of these other oral supplementation. But what I want to explain is I've looked at the blood with just the oral supplements, or for example, people who take ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, it doesn't clear the blood of the structures. You can, for example, with nattokinase and plasminex and lumbrokinase, improve the fibrin microclotting and the acidity in the background. But to dissolve these long ribbon-like structures, you need something else. That's at least my experience, because I've looked at people who came in, been on all kinds of regimens. They've tried everything. They felt a little better. They've tried nicotine. That didn't work. And so in terms of, I go by what the blood looks like. And so in my experience, even vitamin C alone, it will immediately help very much with the rouleau formation, but it doesn't dissolve the fibers.
Right. So in addition to the EDTA, you use fulvic acid and all the other supplements. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, orally, because orally, people cannot walk around with an IV in their arm. And, you know, if you've noticed, they're spraying every single day, our skies. And so you go outside, you inhale stuff. Now, if it's in the meat supply, you eat a piece of meat and you have this stuff again in your body. So I believe that we are unfortunately under such an assault that we need to continuously detox ourselves.
Actually, I was going to ask you that question now, actually. I just took the words out of my mouth. So the solution then is continuous detoxification, detoxing, continuous.
I,
continually.
And until we lock up all the people who do this stuff and we stop the geoengineering program, you know, you have to somehow fortify yourself, because I believe that this stuff is dose dependent. And one of the things that I've seen is that people have become extremely electrofrequency sensitive. Yeah. If they are around cell phones too much, I mean, I use my cell phone in a Faraday cage and I try not to touch it. You know, I see that, you know, the 5G itself and the cell phone use can induce rouleau formation, but it makes this stuff grow. And we've shown this in our experiments, both with electricity, electromagnetic frequency, you know, so I think that the people need to know that shielding themselves from these frequencies is also very important.
Yeah, that's crucial. I mean, I always advise people to, you know, I had a webinar on how to protect yourself against electromagnetic radiation, because I think that's so important today. I mean, you're talking about people dying. I saw some videos where people died with the cell phones in their hands. You know, they spin around like this, and all of them had a cell phone in their hands. So, you know, is it the cell phone radiation that's triggered them, you know, triggered their death, basically? And you've probably seen those people spinning.
I believe it's a weapon. Yeah. I believe it's a weapon. Absolutely. And and I think that people need to be aware of that, and that anybody can be targeted at any time. This is war. And, you know, we don't have bombers flying around. We don't have explosions. We don't have World War II. This is a silent war that you cannot see. But that doesn't mean it's not a war. It is going on. This is the evidence for it. And people need to understand, and they need to act as if we're in a war with the same urgency, with the same preparation. They're poisoning the food supply. They want to induce famines. They want to induce war. The next pandemic is coming. That will be on a cyber level. It will be on a spiritual level. It will be, you know, people may be having hemorrhagic fevers, which are already, you know, out there in Africa, you know, bleeding out of every orifice. I mean, what's the next horrific show? And people need to be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. When I got hit with radiation with directed energy weapons, I was bleeding myself. So, you know, this Marburg thing they're talking about, hemorrhagic fever, I think it's going to be radiation induced, basically, ultimately. But you're right that we are in a war. I mean, many years ago, I was, you know, sitting in my study and just studying all this stuff about this globalist agenda and this madness, you know. And I realized we're in a war, but I realized many people didn't know we're in a war. And then this thought came to mind, you know, go out and ask the people, what's the first thing you must know in order to win a war? And I went out and I asked many people, asked my patients at the time, that was quite a few years ago, and everybody didn't know the answer. They would say, you must know yourself first, doctor. I said, no. Yes, you must know yourself, but that's not the first thing. Then they said, oh, okay, you must know your enemy. I said, yeah, you must know your enemy also, but that's not the first thing. And then they would get stumped. And what else must you know in order to win a war? I said, the first thing you must know in order to win a war is that you're in a war. If you don't know you're in a war, it's not your enemy's problem, it's your problem. Your enemy is going to wipe you out because you're not going to defend yourself. And that's what we're dealing with today. That people are not defending themselves, not protecting themselves, because they don't actually really know they're in a war. And it's an holistic war, I say. You're an holistic being, and you have a physical aspect to your being, a psychological, social, spiritual. And the attack is on all four aspects of your being. You're being attacked from all sides on all four, you know, against all four aspects of your being. And so you got to protect yourself, you know, all four aspects of your being, got to protect. But, you know, not many people actually protect themselves at all. And that's the tragedy. And that's why people are taking the vaccines. They don't really know it's a weapon. It's a bioweapon. And I said this in 2020, when they announced the rollout of the vaccine, I studied the data that was available at the time. And I actually said, you know, in 2020 already, this is not a vaccine. These COVID vaccines are not vaccines. They're actually bioweapons of mass destruction, you know, developed to track, control, render ill, and kill multitudes. And I asked the chief trial investigator, the person running the trials in South Africa, the professor, asked the lawyer to send him a letter to tell us what is in these vials in December 2020. Is there luciferase? Are there all these other things? You know, 33 questions we asked him, and he didn't answer any of them. You know? But it's a war. At the end of the day, like you say, it's actually a war against us, and we need to first know we're in the war, and then protect ourselves. It's not easy though to protect yourself continuously every day. I mean, it's not easy. It's a difficult task, you know.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I want to say one more thing about to our colleagues as well as other scientists, because there's many people who have information and they still don't come out. They know what is going on. They still choose to stay in their own jobs because of the fear of whatever, losing their license, their livelihood, or being attacked by other people. And what I really want to reiterate is that the end game of this, which is fast approaching now, also with the digital currencies, with the vaccine passports, the next pandemic, is this vision that you will own nothing and be happy. So you will lose everything anyways. You might get killed in the process. And so I would say, you know, there's two ways of dealing with fear. One human response is to cower down and to, you know, sit in a corner and do nothing and be scared. And the other way is to, you know, take your sword out and charge the enemy.
Absolutely.
And absolutely go on attack, because this is what we need to do, and speak out and protect your family and your children. If you don't, there will not be a next generation of humanity. And so people need to understand this. And I wring my hands when I hear my colleagues speaking who are saying, oh, we should write this scientific paper and maybe we can, you know, next year affect something. I'm like, we are running out of time as the Absolutely. Human species, and our planet is being destroyed via synthetic biology. If you want to survive and you want your children and your grandchildren to have a chance at survival, you must rise now and you must fight.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you and people can't go to work every day and earn an income and say, look, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And then try to fight it. Also, some of them go to work and they come home and they do a bit of fighting, you know, whatever they do. You can't feed the beast and fight the beast at the same time. You know, fighting the beast must be a full-time occupation today, because the beast is there to kill you, literally. And it's killed millions already. And it's going to kill billions in the coming months and years. And so people need to understand that philosophy that you just outlined there is exactly my philosophy. You got to take your sword and fight, because these guys, their religion is to kill you. That's part of their religion. And that's one of the tenets of their religion, is to actually kill you. Literally, eugenics, depopulation. And they're doing it in your face. They're doing it. And if you're doing nothing about it, then that's really sad. Because I don't know if you know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived as a priest in the time of the Nazi era in Germany. And before they executed him, he said something very profound. He said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. He said, God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And a lot of people, scientists, doctors, they're just remaining silent in the face of this evil. That is unconscionable. Honestly, I just don't know how they can do that. And they know what's going on. I mean, they can't not know. I mean, we're living in the information era, information age. Information is everywhere. I went around the country in 2020 and 2021 presenting my research findings, telling people this is not a real pandemic. And the real reason for this is to get you vaccinated with a bioweapon. I did presentations all over the place to doctors, religious leaders. It was just mainly silence after that. Never heard from them again. So that's the tragedy. And then in the meantime, people are getting killed. Their own families are getting killed. I mean, I know many people who took the vaccine and died, actually, you know. And so we have to do something. You got to fight back. You can't say nothing. I mean, you, like you say, we'll have no humanity left soon, very soon, quite honestly. I don't think they'll kill everybody, but those who are going to be left behind will have no thinking ability. They'll just be automatons, zombies, basically, you know. Yeah.
Yes. And so my concern is that, you know, because I've seen the blood changes in the unvaccinated who thought that they were safe, and that now it looks just like vaccinated blood. And, you know, having personal experience of seeing people having this accelerated aging, this is also what I'm concerned about. It's like, you know, the even the unvaccinated, they are not safe, and they need to understand that that something needs to be done to protect themselves. And I just want to say thank you. You know, what a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to speak to you. And I'm absolutely feel like we are like-minded, and I'm so grateful for what you are doing. Again, it's it's rare to find people who understand this on many levels, and it's always such a joy. And you know, you're obviously brilliant. So you know, call upon me anytime if I can do anything to help. And I'm so honored to speak to you today. So thank you so much for inviting me.
No, likewise. Same back to you, Dr. Anna. I appreciate your very kind words. Really, I do. It's an honor for me to have you here today, you know, sharing your expertise and your knowledge, you know, with us today. I really appreciate that. And we're very like-minded, I must say. What you say there is really true, which is really great too. You know, I don't often come about, you know, across like-minded people. Quite honestly, I mean, I've been fighting this battle literally in many ways alone for many, many years, for decades, literally. And when I come across a like-minded person, it's like, I don't know, it's like, whoa, I've reached heaven here. It's amazing to talk to a like-minded person because literally my colleagues, you know, oftentimes they don't even know what you're talking about, quite honestly, which is quite sad, actually, you know. So in fact, I put out a Substack article the other day talking about doctors, you know, who are pushing the vaccines, you know. It's a very sad situation. But Dr. Anna, thank you very much once again. I really appreciate your time and your expertise and your knowledge. And I'm glad to have met you. It's an honor to have met you and to know that you're like-minded. You know, you and I are like-minded, which is basically brilliant. And let's keep in touch. You know, let's work together, you know, if necessary, if we can, if you want to. And let's try and, you know, help as many people as we can, you know, because as you say, we don't have much time left. Some people think it's just alarmist, you know, but if they really knew the facts, they wouldn't say that. If they knew the facts, they wouldn't say that. It's, it really is the last hour, quite honestly. It's all up to the Almighty, you know, whether he wants us to be wiped out or not. I mean, but I always say Satan's plan is feeble. The plan of Satan is feeble, and the Almighty's plan is the best of plans. So, yeah. Anyway.
I agree. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Dr. Anna, thank you for your time once again, and all of the best. We'll be in touch. Take care. Bye-bye.